Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you from the second chapter of the book of Luke. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now this text is familiar to Bible students. Often it is heard during that season that some call the Christmas season. And certainly the concept of peace and goodwill, they're cherished by many people. In a world that's overrunning with strife and turmoil and wars and struggle and hatred, isn't it true that the very tone of the words peace and goodwill bring a measure of solace to us? But many have sorely missed the mark of the application of this text. Friend, this has to do with the mission of Christ to this earth, but not in the way that many think. What is the peace mentioned here? What is the goodwill? Unless we consider the passage in its context, we will likely misapply this scripture as many others have done and lose its true significance. People have assigned meanings to this text to their liking, like the idea of just getting along with your neighbor. And while this idea may be distantly suggested, it is not the import of the praises uttered by the heavenly host at the birth of Christ. I read where one wrote, This portrays a vision of a time when people can live and children can grow up in a world that is not threatening to destroy them. Friend, that's a false commentary, and such an idea is not suggested in this passage. Such smacks of some premillennial utopia here upon this earth, and that is not what the Bible teaches. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Please take note in this prophecy, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. The Gospel is called the Gospel of Peace, Romans 10 and verse 15. The kingdom of God is one of joy and peace, Romans 14, 17. The preaching done by the apostles and the early evangelists was about peace by Jesus Christ, Acts 10 and verse 36. God is said to be the author of peace, 1 Corinthians 14, 33. The birth of Christ was heralded as the coming of peace, as our text suggests. But what is the peace that Christ brought to this world? At the very time of these words, peace on earth, when they were spoken by the heavenly host, the world was at peace among nations. It was in a period of the Roman Empire when there was no record of wars going on anywhere. And since his birth, there has been so much strife and wars and struggles. And some, seeing this and thinking that Jesus was to bring peace among the nations, have rejected Christ. Are we to expect a world of tranquility and a cessation of all tensions and the end of strife and the termination of all wars because Christ brought peace? Friend, we will not expect this if we understand the peace that he actually brought. What did Jesus mean in Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 36? He said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Now, just how can Christ bring peace, and yet not bring peace? Well, obviously, there's more than one kind of peace. What kind of peace did Christ bring? In Romans chapter 5, and verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to emphasize to you, friend, the peace that was brought to this earth by Christ is peace with God. This is a spiritual peace that can be ours regardless of the circumstances and conditions in which the world round about us is laboring. And this is more than mere contentment and the ease of the mind. It refers to relationship with God. You see, man alienates himself from God by his sins, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And Christ came, and he is our peace, Ephesians 2 and verse 14. He preached peace, Ephesians 2 and verse 17. He died in order to reconcile man to God, providing the way of forgiveness of man's sins that otherwise alienated him from God, Ephesians 2:16 and Colossians 1 and verse 20. We are reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Christ made reconciliation for the sins of the people, Hebrews 2:17. The peace Jesus brought has to do with the removal of the sins of mankind. Seeking this peace with God may often bring one into conflict with other people. The praises spoken by the heavenly host at his birth did not promise a world free of struggle. Rather, it was the announcement of the coming of the way for man to be reconciled to God. Christ did not come merely to provide peace between men. He came to provide peace between man and God. As men, of course, are reconciled to Christ, they can and will be reconciled to each other. But a social and community peace was not his prime goal. Now, to be sure, peace, in the sense of harmony and tranquility among men, is a very desirable condition. But peace between men can be attained while men are spiritually lost. That can be attained while people live in sin, even rejecting Christ and even denying God. There are many who care nothing for God and His Son who have peace among themselves. Men can stand arm in arm and hand in hand and heart in heart in the social peace and still be very rebellious and alienated from God. Consider how heathen and atheistic nations have a measurable peace among themselves. Peace between people does not always follow Christ. Did not some reject him during his life on earth? Did not strife and struggle follow him? Some accepted him while others rejected him. There will ever be strife between the two. And from this there is no escape. The birth of Jesus Christ brought a struggle into the world rather than social peace. It is easy to see why following Christ is sometimes described as a warfare, a spiritual warfare, a fight and a battle against evil and the forces of a spiritual darkness. The forces of God are at odds between the forces of Satan, and so shall it ever be. And because of this, even though we try to live in peace with all men, it's not always possible, Romans 12 and verse 18. The emphasis of the words peace on earth is that Jesus Christ came to offer man the way of salvation and to be at peace with deity. It's simply another way of saying he came to seek and save the lost. Well, what of the phrase goodwill toward men? Well, the phrase goodwill toward men is an expression of God's love manifested toward man. Just as the coming of Christ was to bring spiritual peace between man and God, so was his coming a demonstration of God's goodwill toward an undeserving humanity. The phrase rings with the same meaning as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the way that he manifested his love toward us, that we are saved by the mercy and the grace and the love and kindness and unmerited favor toward God is without mistake. It was demonstrated in his sending his Son to the earth to live and to die on the behalf of the salvation of man who could not atone for his own sins. So often we think of the phrase goodwill toward men as describing the mission of Christ as bringing men together that they might get along in society with each other and be considerate one toward another. We put the phrase in the context of people having a good attitude toward other people. Now it is true that as two people follow Christ, they will develop goodwill toward each other. But all do not follow Christ. This is only a secondary byproduct of the mission of Christ. Jesus did not come to establish a religion that simply enabled people to get along together. This is one of the faults and the mistakes of what is called the social gospel. We recognize that converting people to Christ offers the greatest hope for the recovery of man in his economic and political and social and other mundane relationships. But the goodwill expressed in our text, it's far more than that. The heavenly hosts were not expressing what we might want between people. They were rather praising God for the magnanimous overflow of his grace as he showed that grace by sending his Son to dwell as man among men in order to save them from their sins. You see, friend, the real significance of the phrase peace on earth, goodwill toward men, has a meaning much deeper than the superficial calmness and composure on the man-to-man relationship. It is more than a horizontal matter. It is rather vertical. It is a phrase having to do with the God-man relationship. The birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the occasion for the accomplishment of the divinely given provisions of the way of salvation and spiritual peace for mankind with his Creator and Judge. It was the disclosure and revelation of God's benevolence and kindness and love for mankind. It revealed God's readiness to forgive and to save. All the glory, the praise, and the honor for such things belongs to the Most High God, the God and the Highest, the God of heaven. And with a proper understanding and appreciation of the words, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, we can heartily join the chorus of the heavenly host in the praise, glory to God in the highest. But who will be wise enough to take advantage of what God has offered? Who will come to enjoy this peace with God so extended through God's good will? Will you be among that number? Well, friend, we can be, all of us, but only by coming to the Christ through obedience to the gospel. And this calls for faith in Christ as the Son of God, repentance of sins, confession of that faith, and baptism into Christ for the remission of sins. This is precisely what the Bible says we must do, that we can enjoy the benefits of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And we would urge one and all to simply submit to the Word of God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.